everybody. How's it going? Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Melanie.
So it's a big day today for the Antler Queens. We are actually covering the season one finale of Yellow Jackets, which is Sic Transit Gloria Mundi. And it's the finale. So here we are. We've covered the entire season. And what an exciting season it was. And I think I speak for all of us when we say how excited we are for season two.
Yeah, it's a little sad. Like, I feel like it's ending all over again, you know, now that our episode coverage is ending.
I know. But the good news is that we're actually planning on doing an episode a month leading up to the season two premiere. We're going to do some different things, some character deep dives, some different topics, and we're going to do some fan panels as well. If you would like to be involved with one of our fan panels, please reach out to us on social media, you know, DM us, drop a comment during the show. You know where to find us. We're at the Antler Queens, and we would absolutely love to get more fans involved. So, yeah, we're going to do a less aggressive schedule, not weekly, monthly, and we're very excited. We've got some other fun things coming, too, don't we, Kelly?
Yeah, definitely. Like mini episodes. We're going to be setting up our Patreon soon. And we've got all kinds of super fun things planned for that. Like, you know, patron parties and get-togethers, trivia, you know, that kind of thing. So we will be posting on our social media as soon as that goes live. We're going to have a very low entry tier. So to make it possible for as many people to participate as possible. Because we, you know, we want to have like events and stuff. Those only work if you get people to show up to them.
Exactly. Just for fun, I thought it might be fun to do like an end of the season giveaway. I am going to give away a mug from our merch store to one lucky fan. And all you need to do in order to have a chance to win is follow us on Instagram. We're at the Antler Queens. Give us a follow. Sometime before the end of the week, on Saturday, we will pick a winner and we will send somebody a mug, any design you'd like from our merch at antlerqueenspodcast.com. So someone's getting an Antler Queens mug. Super exciting. Just as a thank you, you know, for everybody for watching and following along. So So follow us on Instagram. We'll randomly pick a winner and we will announce it on social media.
Awesome.
Yes. And, you know, before we actually dive into the episode today, we just had a little bit of news to share. This was kind of some exciting Antler Queens news. We had two exciting shares on social media. We had William Vaughn, who plays Dead Hunter Guy, share our post to his Instagram story. Kelly puts together these really cute quote graphics. If you're watching, you can see it up on our screen right now. And Christina Ricci also shared one of our quote graphics to her Instagram story, Misty's Murder Fact, number 178, 12% of all killers are caught buying cleaning supplies. So Kelly, awesome design, obviously. Thanks. You know, Christina liked it. So she shared the Misty vibes to her story. So we just kind of wanted to shout that out. It's always fun when we get cast members to engage with us on social media. So thanks to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yay. And with that, why don't we dive into the episode? Actually, one more piece of news. Sorry about that. Steven Krueger, it was his birthday. He turned 33 years old, our friend Coach Ben.
Yeah, last week at the 25th, I believe.
Yes. So happy birthday to Steven Krueger.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. And with that, Kelly, tell us director, writer, and the summary of this Yellow Jackets season one finale.
Okay. So the episode title is Sic Transit Gloria Mundi. I had total university choir flashbacks when I saw this title because, like, we were just constantly singing in Latin. It is directed by Eduardo Sanchez, who worked on, I know he worked on the Blair Witch movies and some other cool things as well. VHS, he worked on one or more of the VHS movies. And those are really cool. I don't know if you've seen those, but highly recommend them. And the episode was written by Ashley Lyle, Bart Nickerson, and Kathleen Kearns. And the episode summary is, on the night of their 25-year reunion, the Yellow Jackets navigate damning evidence, false alibis, and a dubious attempt to heal. In the wilderness, the doom-coming fallout finds everything firmly off the rails as resentments come to a head. And oh my God, boy, do they.
Do they come to a head is understatement. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
quite the cliffhangers at the end of this episode. And we start in the past.
Yes. So the girls are all waking up at the party site. Fortunately, you know, they passed out outside. Fortunately, no wild animals came and got them while they were sleeping. Because, you know, I mean, that's kind of a legitimate worry.
Right. The last thing they need is another, you know, person attacked by an animal while they're sleeping.
Yes. So they're all, you know, they're all waking up, and Shauna kind of looks over and picks up the knife and is looking a little disoriented, like it's hitting her that some really crazy shit went down last night. Involving a knife.
Yes. And of course we know they were on mushrooms. So I feel like they're probably waking up with like a doom coming hangover, a little bit fuzzy, you know, all the tripping balls probably disoriented them. So yeah, rough hangover morning for the Yellow Jackets crew. And yes. then we move into the present. We have Misty, who's actually popping into her work to pick up a Tupperware, which was just a cover story because she actually needed to go there to pick up cleaning supplies. So she sees some of the staff turning over one of the patient's rooms, Gloria, and asks about her service arrangements. And she says she'll check with Kenny at the morgue. Obviously, her and Kenny, like, you know, they have a friendly relationship. Makes sense.
I love how... Misty was like, she was so young. And one of the nurses was like, she was 87.
Yeah, you can tell the other staff is like, what is she doing here? Why is she here on her day off? And why is she so into this, you know, this older woman? Yes. But, you know, the timing of her death works out really great, as we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. So she's also carrying this Don't Ruffle My Feathers tote bag. And I thought it was really cute. You know, it is very age appropriate for an older woman. Also for Misty. That's kind of her vibe. So, you know, and of course it had a bird on it. I mean, she's got Caligula. The whole situation. Yes. So she leaves her work. Natalie's outside in the car waiting, and she sees Misty's Tupperware and says, oh, what are you planning to do? Take home leftovers? And
that was such a great line when you think about how all the implied cannibalism and she's going to help them dispose of Adam's body.
Oh my God. My God. And it's always, as usual, like a total deadpan delivery by Nat. Yes. Love that.
And she does end up taking home leftovers, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will. And then we see in the car, you know, Misty's got the cleaning supplies. Nat asks why she didn't just go to the store. And this is when we get the, you know, amazing line by Misty where she says 12% of all killers are caught buying cleaning supplies. And, you know, she also even mentions like the specific kind of bleach. She's very much in her citizen detective mode here. And Misty then brings up the terms of their deal, which was apparently Nat agreeing to go to the reunion in exchange for Misty helping them with Adam's body. So they struck a little deal. And I guess, you know, Nat's going to go to the reunion now and trade for Misty helping them out.
Yeah. Good for her. I'm sure she doesn't want to.
No. Last thing that Nat wants to do, I'm sure.
Yes. So then we go back to the past, and Natalie finds Travis, and she's a little hysterical. She's been just looking for him everywhere, and she's been worried about him. And I think he's kind of fixing up the wound on his neck from where Shauna cut him. And she asks him if he's okay. And he just acts like nothing happened. And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Actually, I'm better than fine. I got laid. So everything's great. I mean, he was a total dick, but it was really weird that, I mean, this horribly traumatic thing happened to him the night before. And he just acted like nothing happened.
Probably still coming to terms with the fact that it happened. Like, you know, there were mushrooms involved, obviously.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, and trauma. I mean, that has got to be a very traumatic situation for him. Yeah, he got laid, but not, you know, everything that happened afterwards was a little bit sketchy. So
yeah, the cons definitely outweighed the pros.
Yes. Oh, poor Travis. And, you know, now, you know, he's going out to find Javi. So, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, Natalie was so sweet. Like it didn't even register. The comment about getting laid didn't even register with her. She's like, I don't care. I don't care about what happened with you and Jackie. I just need to know that you're okay. So it shows that she really cares a lot about him.
She could care less about the Jackie sex. You know, she really is like, are you okay? And you can feel that, you know, when she's talking to him. Oh, poor Travis.
Yeah. And he tells her that he's going off to look for Javi, and she asks if he wants any help, and he says no. And they kind of leave it at that.
Yeah. And then we go back to the present again. Nat and Misty show up at Adam's place, and Shauna and Ty aren't exactly excited to see her. Misty's first words, oh my God, well, aren't we a bunch of gloomy Gusses? Who died? And the way she says the gloomy Gusses and who died, like, she looks so happy. Like, she looks genuinely happy to be there. She's finally contributing. People need her. She looks very happy to be disposing of a body. Like, you
she
know,
she was thrilled.
Like, so excited to be part of the, you know, murder body disposal crew. So,
yeah.
Anyway, so Nat's like, you know, says, Shauna, well, did you have a better idea? And Misty says, I think what you meant to say is, hi, Misty. It's so great to see you after all this time. Thanks for swinging by and helping us cover up a murder. And then, you know, Shauna says, why does everyone keep using that word? It's not like I woke up this morning and thought, what am I going to do today? I know, I'll find out my boyfriend is a creepy stalker and I will stab him to death. And I believe we actually have one of those cute little graphics that you made with that quote showing Shauna all decked out in her, you know, murder gear, her head cover and all that stuff. And then, you know, Misty kind of gives them a rundown of everything they need to do in order to cover things up. Shauna mentions that Adam's cell phone is actually in her safe. So if there's anything suspect about him, Shauna will probably find out, as I'm sure he'll probably look through his phone. So the phone's in her safe. And Misty also mentions, you know, everybody should turn their phones off. Like, they don't want the GPS, you know, tracking them and figuring out, you know, that towers are pinging and they're at Adam's house and all that stuff. So, So Misty, continually, you know, in this really great mood of hers, is laughing, of course. Oh, Shauna, you're the best with the knife, clearly. So you'll handle the body. I mean, cut it up. So, you know, referencing the past timeline, you know, as we've seen, Shauna is really good with the knife. So Misty's not wrong about that. And so because Shauna is best with the knife, she is tasked with cutting up Adam's body. Nat says she'll help. But I think it was mostly just so she could ask Shauna about Adam so she can get more answers to Travis. Because obviously Nat is still, you know, uncomfortable trying to seek peace and all this stuff, you know, with Travis. And she figures the more info she can learn about Adam, maybe that will somehow, you know, tie in. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, she's got it. I think she has good reasons for thinking that he was murdered. It didn't look like a suicide. He was up way too high, but this is also kind of a coping mechanism for her, trying to find answers. You know, that's how she's basically dealing with it. So it's, you know, because she's being productive. That's her purpose right now.
Yep. And she wants to get her hands on that, you know, Adam's cell phone and see if she can find more answers. And, you know, Shauna essentially just talks her into saying, like, look, you know, there is no big conspiracy. He probably just, you know, killed himself. What if the truth is we're all fucked up in the head from what happened to us and you're searching for answers that don't exist, which is, you know, a lesson that Shauna learned from Adam. Like, she was reading into this whole thing and it turns out, you know, Adam's just a guy. He's not involved in the cult. He's not, you know, stalking her. He's not part of the blackmail and, you know, she killed him and yikes. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, for Nat, she's still kind of trying to wrap her head around it. And, you know, Shauna says, Nat, I know what it's like, the numbness, the paranoia. Sometimes I look at the world around me and it's just like all the light has gone out. Maybe Travis just couldn't stand to live like that anymore. maybe you need to start trying to forgive him. And that's a powerful moment between the two of them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all of this shared trauma and Nat clearly struggling with Travis's death and, you know, Shauna just trying to get this body out of the way and keep the girls convinced, you know, with the story that she went with.
Yeah. And not even, you know, it's so funny because I'm just like taking in this heavy moment when I'm watching it, not even processing the fact that this was Shauna's boyfriend. And, you know, she actually kind of cared about him.
They spent a lot of time together in their short, you know, affair. Yeah. So, I mean, she probably still hasn't even fully processed the fact that he's gone, despite the fact that she's standing there disposing of his body. It probably feels like surreal. There's lots of adrenaline happening, you know, all that stuff. In the meantime, Misty and Ty are on cleanup duty. Misty's wringing out a blood-soaked rag and says, "Ooh, I just got the craziest sense of deja vu." Like, again, in this, like, super cheery voice, like, MFQ strikes again. She is always just, like, her mood never matches the situation, but that's Misty. Yeah. Like, Misty's mood is, you know, is Misty, and she's on brand with herself. Misty actually tells Ty that she voted for her and she only registered so she could get jury duty. Like, who does that? Like, from what
Misty,
I know,
that's it.
Misty, MFQ is the only person that is like, "Oh my God, sign me up for jury duty." Like, she wants to hear all the gory details. Oh my God. Like, never want to do jury duty. Shauna comes out with Adam's head and hands and says the rest of him is still in the tub. You know, they really did show like some pretty graphic cutting of his limbs. Like, I was surprised that they went there. Like, you know, they're always pretty graphic with some of these like knife, blood, stabbing, cutting scenes. So that was no exception. Misty tells them to bury the torso and Hackleberry Park, and she has a shovel in her trunk they can borrow, because of course Misty has a shovel in her trunk. Like, what good citizen detective doesn't, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, odd scene, disposing of a body. Misty's like super happy about it, and then we move back to 1996 again.
Oh God, Christina Ricci's just so brilliant in this show, but that scene, she was just amazing.
Oh my God. Like, socially inappropriate, but yes, on brand for MFQ.
So we go back to the past and Ben is boiling some drinking water since he's a little hungover, and the girls are coming out and, you know, he tells them he's boiling some water. He figures, if, you know, they might be as hungover as he is. And Jackie pops out looking pretty upset, rightfully so. And she's like, "I have nothing to say to any of you." And it's the weirdest thing. Mari and Van are just acting like nothing happened. They just mention, like, kind of with a bit of an attitude, they mention Jackie sleeping with Travis. And like nothing else happened.
I mean, did they forget about Doom coming?
It almost seemed like it, it almost seemed like everybody completely erased it from their minds, because everyone is acting like absolutely nothing happened. You know, they finally talk about it though. And Ben says, "Whoa, hey, look, I'm sure we all said and did some things that we regret last night because of the shrooms."
Understatement.
And Shauna is like, "Wait, shrooms?" And Van's like, "Okay, yeah, that makes sense." So clearly Van remembers something.
Yes.
And then Akila, and then Ty mentions the broth. And then Akila's like, you drugged us?" And Misty said, "No, she didn't. It was an accident. And they were meant for Ben."
Oh my God.
She just coughs to it. Mari's like, "Oh my God, do you have any idea how crazy you are?" And I love that when she said this, Misty's like, "They were my mushrooms and you stole them to put them in your stupid soup."
Oh my God. And she was really upset about it. Like, she had those tucked away neatly in her Trapper Keeper. They weren't for other people. They were for her. So, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. And she, you know, Misty even says that none of that would have ever happened if Ben hadn't tricked her into falling in love with him.
Shame on you, Coach Ben. Shame on you.
It's all his fault.
Victim blaming.
Yes. But, so then they're interrupted by a bear approaching the cabin, talk about scary. Everyone's freaking out. And then Lottie just suddenly, you know, Lottie's looking a little kind of just as panicked as the others, but she steps forward and she asks one of the girls to hand her a knife. And she just walks right up to the bear. The bear lays down in front of her and she stabs it in the head. So there's some weird shit going on. I mean, the bear could have been sick or whatever. Like, I can't see it just dying right at her feet at that moment. I mean, there's clearly, you know, some weird supernatural shit going on here.
It's so bizarre. And, you know, there have been some fan theories I've read and on Reddit and in the Yellow Jackets group that, like, the bear could potentially be Javi in some way. You know, maybe they're all still hallucinating. I mean, I think the mushrooms have worn off. But for me, that theory doesn't hold a lot of water. I don't see the connection between the bear and Javi. I do think it's odd that it comes over and just lays down like that. You know, maybe that speaks to Lottie's powers or something. We don't know yet.
Maybe. I did read a theory that may have happened. It's a supernatural theory that may have happened because Laura Lee had just died. And so they, you know, they spilled blood. And I mean, even though they didn't do anything deliberately or anything. So, but it was like the forest thanking them in a way.
Oh, interesting. I mean, makes sense. That makes sense. And that's quite a bounty for the forest to share. I mean, that bear meat, you know, is much needed. So that theory holds a lot more water to me than the Javi is the bear theory. But, you know, hey, we're open to everything. So if you have a bear theory, please share it with us. We'd love to know.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yes. And then we move back to the present and we're getting in reunion mode and we hear Rump Shaker, which is totally my favorite song from the episode. There were actually a lot of really great songs in this episode. Really quickly, we'll just mention them and touch upon them when we get to them. We have Rump Shaker, we have Lady Killers by Lush, All That She Wants, Ace of Base, Only Time by Enya, The Haunted by Dot Allison, Come Out and Play, another one of my favorites, by The Offspring, I Touch Myself by The Divinyls, Kiss from a Rose by Seal, not the first time we've heard that song in season one, and Vienna by Ultravox.
This has to be my least favorite episode for music.
There were I don't love the songs, but like Ace of Base is so 90s. Like, I don't love Ace of Base, but I mean, it really does give kind of that 90s vibe a little bit. I loved Rump Shaker. I thought it was a really great way to open the reunion. Like, I got excited about it. You know,
It was fun.
Jeff and Randy are there. Randy is like super panicked that the women are going to find out they were behind the blackmail and thinks he's going to choke. Mm-hmm. Allie approaches them. She flirts a little with Jeff and asks if Shauna will be there. And for a quick second, like, I got the vibe, like, did Allie and Jeff maybe hook up when the girls were gone? I don't know. Like, I just picked up on this little hint of like familiarity between the two of them. Maybe I was reading too much into it. I don't know.
There was something going on. I mean, she was, not on his part, but she was definitely like getting pretty flirty with him.
That's what I thought. I mean, I really kind of, I was getting that vibe. You know, Jeff tells her the place looks really great, by the way. Allie says, thank you. I feel such a sense of responsibility, you know, not just as class chair, but as a member of the team. I don't know if you know this, but I was supposed to be on the plane that day. We heard this from her before. I think it was the pilot episode. God, talk about like fear of missing out. It's like she wanted to be there. Like she really wishes she was there, which I think is like really strange and kind of bizarre.
She wasn't even in their class.
No. And that's the other part. Like, why is she the class chair for this girl's class? Like, she's younger than them. Like, why is she the class chair? Why does she feel this sense of responsibility? She was younger. Why is she like helping at the reunion? It's not even her reunion. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've read different things on that. I don't know that there's actually anything definitive there, but
yeah,
either way, whatever. Maybe we'll just suspend our disbelief. I don't know. Anyway, so Jeff says, yeah, right. That must be weird. And Allie says, it is. These reunions are such an important way to honor the unique bonds that we all share, our trauma bond. And this is a big one. 10, who cares? 20, everyone's busy with kids' careers, but 25, that's reunion pay dirt, baby.
Yeah.
And like the trauma bond comment, like it's not really a bond if you weren't there, is it, yeah. Allie? I mean, like, I guess like a bond because she was on the team, but she, you know, lucked out by not being there, not lucky because of the reason why she was not there. But yeah, so this whole thing that she's really grasping on to like this trauma bond with the girls. And I think it's a little bit weird. And like, why are you even at the reunion? But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see her having survivor's guilt. I mean, that, you know, that's a real thing. And I could totally see her having that in that situation because she was supposed to be there. And it wasn't even her fault that she wasn't. I mean, she had her leg broken.
Right.
But right. I could still see her experiencing that. But that was nothing compared to like crashing in a plane and being stranded in the wilderness for 19 months. I mean,
no. And I can see the survivor's guilt, but it's almost like it's not even real guilt though, in a way too. It's like, yeah, she really, like, I don't know. She's happy about it in some way. Like there's something just off about her,
yeah,
feelings about it. I don't know.
Like a little Munchausen kind of thing going on or something.
That could be. I don't know. Yeah. And then we see Misty at Gloria's wake talking to her daughter. And this exchange is kind of funny because clearly Gloria like wasn't like a super nice lady, and her daughter is like, or sister, whatever, is like, you know, are we talking about the same person here? Misty says, I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, I'm just devastated. She was like a mother to me, which if you think about it, kind of makes us sisters. And the daughter says, oh, I'm sorry. Who are you again? And Misty says, Misty Quigley from Sunnyview. I was your mother's nurse, or as I like to think of it, her guardian angel. Oh my God. Guardian angel and Misty Quigley are not two words that I would use together. That was a great time to drink from your MFQ mug, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. We have some really cute MFQ merch at antlerqueenspodcast.com. So go check that out. And then the daughter says, of course, well, thank you for coming. I'm sure mom was lucky to have you. And Misty says, I was the lucky one. She was really there for me when I needed it. Always smiling, always laughing. Well, not literally, of course. After the last stroke, she pretty much lost all control of her facial musculature, but you could still really sense her inner joy, Misty says. Like, is this appropriate funeral talk? Like, I mean, come on. The camera then pans to the inside of Gloria's casket, and we see that the bag with Adam's head and hands is actually inside with her. So
brilliant.
Brilliant. We've discovered the reason why Misty's at the funeral, why, you know, it was great timing when she went back to her work and learned that Gloria had passed, because she's like, click, I know exactly how we're going to get rid of this head and hands and whatever. So so she, you know, uses Gloria's death as a vehicle to dispose of Adam, and good thinking. I mean, you know, like she's really smart when it comes to disposing of bodies, and the girls really made the right choice by calling her, because if they did not call Misty for Adam's body disposal, I feel like there would have been a lot more problems than they may run into in the future had they not had Misty there.
Yeah, especially with, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe Ty would figure something out, but I mean, Shawn is so messy. Like, you cannot trust her to not completely fuck it up.
No. Oh my God. Misty really saved the day with the body disposal. We'll find out how much in season two and see, yes, you know, what comes back on them in terms of how well or not well they disposed of Adam. But anyway, I thought it was a really smart idea, you know, throwing part of him into the casket with Gloria.
Yeah. And I think that that moment got her MVP for both of us, right?
Yes, it sure did. It sure did. Our MVP of the episode is Misty. I mean, we pick Misty for a lot of different things because it's really hard not to. Yeah. But her total skill for maneuvering that situation, knowing what to do, which cleaning supplies, where to get them, where not to buy them. I mean, she is next level. Like if she was a real person and I killed someone, which I would never do, you know, she would be my first phone call. So, you know, Nat was really spot on with looping her in on the situation. They really needed her and she loves feeling needed. If there's one thing she loves, it's feeling needed. So this was like, this was like living a dream for her, this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And then we see Ty, Shauna, and Nat are all back at home getting ready for the reunion. Shauna's in the shower crying, which like really kind of hit me. Like this, you know, it's like it hit her too, finally, like the extent of what happened. And I really actually love this moment. She comes out of the shower and sees that Jeff left her address in a box with a note that said, "I thought this seemed a little bit more you." And he was so right. Like the dress that she ends up wearing to the reunion really is so perfect. The first one he had picked out, not as much Shauna, and just another Jeff moment. You know, he might be kind of dumb, but he really comes through for Shauna. And you just see how much he loves her in so many different ways throughout the season. You know, at first we think he's a cheating husband. Turns out he's not. And, you know, they're in it to win it, those two. So,
man, they really did a bang up job of having a husband blackmail his wife and having us all fall in love with him.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, like Jeff.
Well, he didn't mean to blackmail her. He just meant to blackmail our friends.
Right. Yeah.
Small but yeah, her crying in the shower really got to me because she's been kind of like Melanie Lynskey has done something really difficult this season. And that's she has portrayed this kind of numb feeling. And that's something that, I mean, God, that's gotta be so hard to do. I mean, without coming across as flat, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like you can tell stuff's weighing on her, but she just like, she portrays numb very well. And she just broke down in the shower. And like, that's the first time I think we'd seen her cry and it was just, yeah. So that made me sad.
Yeah, same. I really felt that. And then we see Ty and Shauna standing outside of the reunion, getting ready to go in. And Shauna says, "How's it possible that this is the most scared I've been all day?" And you know what? That is a really good question. How is it possible that's the most scared she's been all day? She's more scared to go into her 25th reunion than she was like dismembering a body and disposing of it. So... it shows where her head is at. You know, obviously there's a lot of trauma and different situations with the reunion and their high school experience. So I can see that, but
yeah,
whew, busy day. Oh my goodness. And so they go through this kind of this funny little exchange. Ty says, "Right? Oh my God. Oh, hey girl, it's been forever. What have you been up to? Tell me." Shauna says, "Yeah, you know, gardening, PTA, dismembering my lover's corpse." It was kind of a funny little exchange between the two. And then we have Nat showing up in a fucking amazing dress, as your note says here, Kelly. Love her dress. We'll show that in a sec. And the three of them walk in together, which I thought I had a pic of them walking in together, but maybe I don't, whatever. And then they walk in, the three of them, and then Misty joins them. She was taking a picture in like an Instagram frame and like sees them walking in, drops the frame and like go joins in like she's missing out on a parade or something. And as they're doing that, we hear "Come Out and Play" by Offspring. Fantastic song. Your favorite song of the episode. Yes.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes. Loved Offspring. And literally everybody at the reunion is staring at them like they can't even believe that they're there. Misty gets someone to get a picture of them. And of course, Allie has to include herself in the picture because that's what Allie does. So we are now in the midst of the reunion happening. And then we move back to the present. We move back to 1996.
Yeah. That, you know, that walking into the reunion scene was so great because it's just like it was all in slow motion and super overdramatic. And like everyone was just, I mean, you know, I don't think in real life, I don't think it would be that dramatic, but they would definitely cause a scene. I mean, walking in together, like, you know, the survivors of of the plane crash, all walking in together. I mean, that would be like kind of a shocking moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this was a very, you know, it's not typical for a high school class to endure the loss of classmates in a plane crash, some survivors, some not surviving. So, yes, total dramatic moment, especially after 25 years when, you know, it was just covered on the magazine and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, definitely. So we go back to the past and the girls are cooking up the bear meat. And, you know, I have a bone to pick with Mari here.
Pick away.
Mari's kind of, you know, preparing the food and Misty tries to help her. And Mari snaps at her and tells her to get away because they can't trust her around the food. I'm like, you know, whose idea was it to put the mushrooms in the soup without even talking to Misty about it first?
Yeah, Misty did not dose them on purpose. It was Mari by accident. So, yeah, you were totally right. Like, Mari has no right to be saying shit about this whole situation.
Yeah, yeah. Mari, you
are. Not blaming Misty. God.
You get my poo-poo head of the week award. Apparently, that's a new thing we're doing.
Okay.
But, Shauna, like, tries to lick bear blood off of her finger. I don't know why she felt the need to do that, but Akila stops her and tells her it'll make her sick. I don't know if that was kind of like foreshadowing of something, you know, possibly. Taisa is kind of hanging out upstairs in the attic, just watching what's going on outside. And Van comes upstairs with the bone necklace around her neck. And she's not wearing the bandages or, you know, the scarves or the mask or anything. She's just got her face totally out, and her scars look really good.
Oh, they're healing so nice. I'm like, oh my God, do they have like vitamin E or something they're putting on this? Because like the marks are so good. There's hardly any inflammation. Like, talk about amazing, you know, surgical skills or stitch skills.
I'm kind of convinced there's something weird going on there too with Van. Like, there's, you know, it's the forest is keeping her alive, you know?
She should have died so many times. And then she, of course, alludes to something, as you're mentioning.
Yeah. And the, you know, and she's healing way quicker than she should at this point. So Van comes up and she tries to get her to come, Ty tries to get her to come over and talk to her. And and Van's like, why? So you can tell me how dumb I am. And she explains that she saw something. She says, I saw something after. She said she didn't know if she was dead or if she was alive or if she was somewhere in between. But she knows that there was something out there with them. And she doesn't really explain more than that. But they kind of start going back and forth about, you know, the possibility of a paranormal influence. Ty obviously is extremely skeptical. And I love what she says to her. She says, you believe that Sporty Spice is the most underrated Spice Girl. Agreed. You believe that Scully is way too good for Mulder. Agreed. You do not believe in whatever this is. And Van says, yeah, well, maybe I do. And if that's going to be a problem, then just say it. Okay. And then Ty just gets up and hugs her and says they're going to be okay. So I think she's just willing to kind of at this point go along with, you know, whatever, because she just loves Van that much.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that they're never going to agree on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it is nice to see her kind of, showing how much she supports her. And, you know, quick note, we're actually recording this episode in June, which is Pride Month. And we have a whole slew of very pretty, colorful merch at antlerqueenspodcast.com. And, you know, it just made me think, I love how Yellow Jacket celebrates same-sex relationships. You know, they've got multiple gay characters. I think it's really great. And I love it when shows celebrate that. And anyway, so this was just a nice little nod to their relationship. And I also love the 90s nod there with the Spice Girls and the X-Files mentioned, especially the Spice Girls comment. I thought that was really cute. That was my little 90s nostalgia moment, favorite thing from the episode.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I love that Van is into Spice Girls.
Yes, I know that. That seems like an unlikely thing. Like, I picture Van as more like Pearl Jam or something.
Yeah,
or like Stone Temple Pilots. Cool, like, yeah. too like pop for her. But hey, you know, everybody has their music thing, so whatever. Yeah. Who am I to say? Then we move back to the present. We see Natalie standing outside the trophy case at the school. Jackie's jersey prominently displayed. There's also a pic of the entire team, which, you know, I pulled up a picture of, and with the reflections and glare, you know, you can't clearly see all the faces, but anyway, I thought it was interesting to see a visual of all the girls in one picture. And then there's also individual pictures in the trophy case of both coaches, Javi and Travis. Mm-hmm. Kevin Tan actually approaches Nat while she's looking inside the trophy case and says, she says that Travis really did kill himself. They talk for a few moments, and then Kevin ends up leaving with a woman. And he kind of says, like, I hope you find what you're looking for. You know, so it was, you know, it's sad because Kevin was really trying with Nat, and, yeah, you know, she just wasn't, you know, she was more using him for information, and, you know, she's just not in a place right now where she can even like get involved and go down the Kevin Tan road. So he leaves and walks away. Shauna is at the bar at the reunion. She orders 2 Cabernets, a beer, and a white wine spritzer. Randy approaches her, and she immediately changes her order to 4 double tequila shots. So
do you know anyone like that, Melanie, that would make you change your order to 4 double tequila?
You know what? I think we all know somebody like that. So yes, Kelly, absolutely. And I, you know, probably would have done the same thing. And, you know, they get into a little exchange. Randy says, hell yeah, we're partying tonight. And he just looks at Shauna and he says, oh shit, he told you, didn't he? Shauna says, if you ever tell anyone what the two of you did, I will fucking end you. I will gut you like a pig. And if they find your body, which they won't, it won't matter because you will be unfucking recognizable. Understand? Whoa, whoa. So this reminded me of the time when Shauna told Jeff, when they were sleeping together in the Jeep,
yes,
about like how, you know, if she gets pregnant, I forget what her exact words were, but in the same type of vein as what she said to Randy. So Shauna delivers these unbelievable little monologues towards people. Threats might be a better word. I don't know.
Yes.
So then Randy says, oh, so you're mad then? And Shauna says, yeah, Randy, I'm mad. And I can't be mad at Jeff right now. So looks like it's you. And Randy says, I get that. Shauna says, good. You're a good friend.
At least she left him on a high note, you know?
Right. I mean, poor Randy. Like, you know, we see him like in the past, like belching and being all disgusting. And like, you know, Shauna played it off like it was like Randy she slept with. And now here we are full circle back in 25 years when, you know, Jeff and Randy blackmail people. And so whole situation. And
poor then Randy, he just got dragged.
Oh, my God. Poor Randy Walsh. I know. Right. But you know what? He's a really good friend to Jeff. So I guess there's that. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Back to 96.
Yeah. So the group is sitting down to eat. By the way, I think we can all assume that white wine spritzer was for Misty.
Oh, definitely. 100%. 100%.
But yeah, anyway, I'm getting off track here. So the group is sitting down to eat in the cabin, and Van kind of stops everybody and says, should they say something like grace or whatever. And Lottie and Thaisa was actually the first one to agree, which was, you know, kind of, I mean, she's trying to be supportive. And Van asks Lottie to lead it. And so she has everyone grab hands, and then it's just a quick little scene, and then they cut back to the present.
And we hear the song, I Touch Myself, playing. Great song. And Shauna is bringing the shots back to the table. Misty says she's never done shooters before, which I find hard to believe for some reason. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can see Misty putting down some shots, but, you know, maybe she's more of a white wine spritzer person, as you mentioned. So I can see that. And then Allie takes the mic and asks for everybody's attention. She plays this somewhat cringy slideshow tribute of the soccer team, which is playing over Enya's only time. And Ellie says in this super thick New Jersey accent, word definition.net defines a reunion as a union that is happening again. My Jersey accent is terrible, so I can't even come close to that. Like, are we really defining the word reunion?
The whole thing was so cringy. I mean, you know, and plus it's a 25-year reunion. You know, everyone's there to have a good time. And she's like showing this slideshow, this like emotional, depressing slideshow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, yeah. And, you know, we see Jackie's photo in there and you can tell that Shauna is like visibly sad about it. So, you know, that's kind of a bummer. So, you know, the slideshow happens and then we move back to the past again.
Yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to comment on regarding the picture of Jackie, I cannot, like, I noticed it almost immediately the first time I saw the episode and I cannot unsee it now. And that photo, she looks exactly like a young Rue McClanahan.
Oh, interesting. I loved Rue McClanahan. Probably my favorite Golden Girl, by the way. Interesting observation. I didn't notice that. I'm going to have to look now.
Yeah, she could totally be her her granddaughter. So we're back in the past, and Lottie is kind of leading everyone in like a call and response prayer to the gods of the dirt and nature. And everyone's like, she says, we say thank you to the gods of the dirt, and everyone says thank you. And so they get through the whole thing, and then Misty interrupts and she's like, Jackie didn't say thank you. And she just like starts making a big deal out of it. And Jackie starts becoming super confrontational toward absolutely everybody about what happened the night before. And, you know, she has every right to be.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think I would probably be a little more scared than pissed off. And traumatized, but I mean, yeah, she absolutely has every right to be pissed at them. And she wants nothing to do with anybody there. And everybody again starts making the whole thing about Jackie fucking Travis. And it's so bizarre. And Jackie and Shauna start going back and forth. And Shauna actually even said, none of that would have happened if you hadn't and stopped yourself. I'm like, wait a minute. So you're not even going to take responsibility for the fact that you had a knife to Travis's throat. You're just going to blame it on Jackie fucking Travis.
Unbelievable.
And then Jackie tells everyone that Jeff is the one who got Shauna pregnant.
Ooh, cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. And there was a great moment. There's a great little moment of humor in this exchange. Jackie says, you're so fucking jealous of me, you can barely breathe. And Shauna says, are you quoting Beaches at me right now?
Oh my God, I love that.
It's a quote from Beaches.
That was amazing. The fact that she's like with it enough to recognize that quote and throw it back, like, love that.
Yes. And then Jackie tells Shauna to get out. And Shauna and Mari tell Jackie that she should go since Jackie doesn't want anything to do with any of them anyway. Ben tries to intervene, but, you know, Lottie tells him to stay out of it. And poor Ben, he's just like, he's kind of lost all his power. This fight is so sad. It's just like so sad in retrospect. And we'll talk about it more later on, but.
It really is like, yeah. They have some pretty big blows towards each other. And, you know, Jackie saying the sad little sidekick, you know, are you mad? Did I force you to live in my shadow? And, you know, Shauna saying, I'm not jealous of you, Jackie. I feel sorry for you because you're weak. And I think deep down, you know it. So there's definitely some like heated exchanges there. And it's, it's sad knowing what's next.
Mm. Yeah, I know. Mm. Yeah. So then we go back to the present. Oh God, more cringe.
Yes. Oh my God. So Allie makes Jeff and Shauna dance by themselves, which is like, you know, I mean, the dance should have been obviously like Jackie and Jeff, like the homecoming king and queen or whatever. But instead, it's Jeff and Shauna, and it's Kiss from a Rose, which, you know, we actually heard the girl singing in the wilderness. So it's the second time we've heard the song, this time actual Seal singing it. And they still have Jackie's photo up. So it's like, it's really, it is like cringy. It's kind of sad. It's a little bit awkward. There's a fucking confetti cannon that's fired off, which seems like so inappropriate for the timing. Yes. And they're kind of like whispering to each other while they're dancing. Like, you know, people assume they're having some little couple small talk. And Sean is telling Jeff she took care of Adam, but the less he knows about it, the better. And Jeff said he thinks they're going to be all right. So, you know, during this awkward dance, they kind of like say, okay, you know, hopefully we're good. Blah, blah, blah. Jeff thinks they're going to be okay. And then the day after the reunion, Misty is back with Jessica, and she's actually telling her about the reunion. Misty tells Jessica she wants to tell her a story, but she's worried Jessica will go to the, or wants, Misty tells Jessica she wants to tell her story, but she's worried Jessica will go to the cops. Jessica assures her she won't because she's a fixer for the rich and powerful. You know, another fixer I love, just throwing something out there, Olivia Pope in Scandal. Like, she's like my favorite TV fixer of all time. I don't look at her and Jessica the same way, but when she said fixer, like, I think Olivia Pope in Scandal. I don't know. Side note, I don't know if you watch Scandal.
Do not.
I think I'm still frozen.
Okay. No, you're fine.
All right, cool. Okay. Simone and Ty having a phone call. Simone saying that she'll pick up some things for Sammy at the house later. Ty says she won't be there because she'll be at the campaign headquarters as they will be announcing the winner of the senatorial race that evening. Ty says, I love you, before they get off the phone. And I was waiting for Simone to say, I love you back. And that moment never came. You know, so that's a little disheartening for Ty and Simone, but you know, their marriage has been struggling, and rightfully so. And
I'm so confused by it all, though, because Simone was so supportive when Thaisa told her about what was going on with her. And then it's like that changed when she asked her to move out, which she was only doing to protect her.
Yes, I felt that same way, right? Because Ty was the one that's like, you need to go, like, to, you know, protect them and keep them safe. And so now it's like Simone's kind of holding it against her in a way, which, you know, is a little bit odd. But, you know, that kind of sets up for what we see at the end of the episode a little bit. So then we see Misty actually letting Jessica go. But Jessica realizes that Misty took her cigarettes. So Jessica clearly wants a cig. So she insists that she needs them back. Misty had them in the trash, so she reaches in the trash, pulls them out, and hands them to her. Jessica immediately lights the cigarette as soon as she gets into the car, and we shift back to the past, but I can't wait to get back to the present.
Yeah. Again, just a really quick, scene. So, you know, Jackie had walked out earlier, and she's sitting by herself trying to start a fire, and Shauna's just watching out the window as she's trying to get this fire going. And Natalie hears Travis calling for Javi, and he clearly still can't find him, and it's dark out now. I mean, it's been like, you know, a whole day. And she, man, this was so emotional. She offers to help him again, and he's crying, and he keeps saying no, he doesn't want her help. And he just starts breaking down, and he says, I'm so sorry. And he says, I fucking love you, Natalie.
Oh, and that really got me when he said, I love you. I was like, finally, I knew it.
Yeah. And he just, like, you could tell the apology was sincere. He knew he was a dick, and he just, like, you know, he didn't know how to deal with everything. And he just, I mean, it doesn't excuse him being a total dick to her, but I mean, he just got really emotional, and they hugged, and he was just kind of like sobbing, just breaking down.
Tradley forever. And like the way that we're seeing Natalie kind of like move through the grief of Travis's death in the present timeline really comes full circle back in this past timeline with, you know, Travis apologizing and them ending on a loving note, you know, and I think it goes along with Natalie trying to like reconcile their relationship and friendship or whatever, you know, in the present, getting over his death. But just ending it on that I love you note was very powerful for me, and something I think, you know, a lot of us have been waiting for this whole season. And, you know, the fact that Travis slept with Jackie and then realized that he loved Natalie was just really powerful. Like, I mean, he really loves her, and you could feel that. Like, I felt it through the screen. I have been rooting for them so hard. So I like that. I like that. Yeah. And then we move back to the present. We see Jessica driving, and all of a sudden she starts getting woozy and realizes, oh my God, Misty must have put something in the cigarettes. And of course, this is not the first time we've seen Misty injecting things into things. We've seen her injecting stuff into chocolates. Now we see her injecting this fentanyl into the cigarette, which, you know, looks like it will likely be a lethal dose.
She warned her that cigarettes would kill her.
I mean, right. To be fair, she did warn her. You are absolutely right. And, you know, Jessica just had to have the nicotine. Yeah. So,
and for that, she gets my most likely to this week. Jessica is most likely to star in a thetruth.com ad. Smoking definitely killed her.
Yeah, smoking killed that bitch. That is for sure. And, you know, we don't see her die, but I think we can all kind of assume that, you know, the car on the side of the road and her passing out, she's probably dead.
That's a big loss, because she had a lot of answers.
A lot of answers that now we will probably never hear. And I don't think Misty realized, you know, what she was fully doing getting rid of her, because she could have been more of an ally in some ways. Yeah. So later, Jessica. Yeah. In the meantime, we see Jeff and Donna watching TV. They're enjoying each other's company like a happy little couple. It was a cute moment. Shauna says, I think we should get a cat. I think cats are underrated. Jeff says, yeah, well, I hope this cat behaves itself or it'll wind up in the chili pot.
Clearly referencing the rabbit chili.
The rabbit chili. Oh my God. I thought that was really fun. I love that Jeff kind of was like, you know, playing along. And we know that he's read her journal. So like he knows of all of the different things that she's butchered and eaten and all that. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Then we see Callie walk in and she's completely weirded out because like they're enjoying each other and typical teenager, like, oh, mom and dad, like loving each other. Bah, 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 bah. So actually she joins them on the couch. Meanwhile, Thaisa and her campaign people are watching the results and the anchor announces the race is much closer than anybody anticipated. Natalie, meanwhile, is in her hotel room with a shotgun in her lap, mm-hmm. which is very hard to watch because we are all getting the vibe that she might be killing herself. And you can just, it's palpable, the emotion and how incredible Juliette Lewis plays this part.
She feels like she lost everything by accepting the idea of Travis killing himself.
Yeah. And like she has nothing left to live for, you know, like how Shauna had told her earlier, like sometimes I feel like all the lights are out or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that maybe resonated with Nat, and you know, this has led her in this situation, sitting on the bed with the shotgun. And
nice job, Shauna. No,
I know, right? I'm not gonna play her. And then we move back to 1996 again.
Yeah. So the Shauna is still watching Jackie from the attic. Thaisa actually tries to urge her to go out and talk to her, but she just kind of ignores her and just crawls into bed and goes to sleep.
Oof. And then we're back to the present again at Shauna's house. We see the TV anchor reporting Adam's disappearance.
Awkward.
Oof. And like all of the air gets sucked out of the room. Jeff, Callie, and Shauna are all trying to keep their cool, but they're visibly rattled because Callie's rattled since she knows that her mom was having an affair and doesn't realize that Jeff knows about the affair. Mm-hmm. Shauna and Jeff are clearly rattled because Shauna murdered him and disposed of the body. And so they know. So like each one of them has their own separate set of reasons for being clearly disturbed and rattled by the news of Adam's disappearance. And surely part of this is going to come back and haunt them in season 2.
Oh,
I suspect.
Yeah.
And then Simone and Sammy arrive back at their home. Simone goes to the basement, grabs the suitcases, and notice that there's air blowing in from the crawl space. Strange.
Simone almost got my most likely to this week for a very obvious reason.
So then she goes to open the grate and she sees that there's blood on there, and she investigates and she goes inside this like little crawl space room situation, and she screams because, oh my God, she sees an altar that has Biscuit's head, Sammy's doll, and a human heart, along with the symbol from the woods, which is in blood on the wall. And we do have a picture, but we are not going to show it because it is very traumatic. Like, we're dog people, Kelly, and seeing poor Biscuit's head, aww, like with a human heart. I mean, so I suspect like Ty obviously must have taken Adam's heart.
That's what I'm guessing. I mean, I hope like she didn't kill somebody else.
Right. I think, you know, that's a safe conclusion to come to. But I guess, you know, we never know what Ty's doing when she's sleepwalking. So for now, we will assume it's Adam's heart. Ty and her campaign staff, meanwhile, are waiting for the election results. And finally, the news anchor reports that she won in a stunning upset and is the first Black woman elected to state Senate, which is awesome. Good for Ty, especially given everything she's been through. And she was not expected to win this race. She was supposed to drop out of the race. Now she's a senator. So, whew, interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, if you ask me, that smile that she gave at the end there, I think that smile was saying, oh my God, it worked.
Right. I mean, you know, you mentioned that Ty might have gone about all of her successes from the dark side in some way. And this, you know, this may be another example of that.
Yeah, it's I mean, the timing was kind of impeccable, you know.
Yeah.
Adam dies and you know, she there's a heart sitting there on the altar, and then suddenly she wins the race.
Yeah. Well, you know, good for Ty, bad for their marriage, probably good for the state of New Jersey, great for Black women, lots of good things, but it'll be interesting to see how she uses this power, where this gets her. Maybe she'll be president by the season 5, who knows? Anyway.
Yes. And Simone, I'm very disappointed in you for seeing blood outside a grate and just outside the crawl space and just choosing to go in there.
I mean, that's like the first no of like all horror movies is like, you know, don't go in. I mean, you never know what could have been in there. Luckily, you know, it was simply a human heart and a dog head and some blood. But
yeah, no big deal.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go back to the past. And Shauna goes out and apologizes to Jackie. Says, this is stupid. Just come inside. Jackie follows her. And as they're walking in, Jackie says she's so tired. And she mentions how cold it is. And she said she's so tired. And she walks in and Akilah wraps a blanket around her immediately. And everyone's kind of standing around really creepily looking at her and smiling. Lottie brings her hot chocolate. And she's like, how do we have hot chocolate? And Sean is like, doesn't matter. And then you see her vision go a little funky. And then she gets a confused look on her face and she sees Laura Lee. And Laura Lee says, it's not as bad as you thought, is it? And then we see who we later find out was Dead Hunter Guy, who says, so glad you're joining us. We've been waiting for you. So, you know, we kind of figure what's going on here. And Shauna then wakes up. It's the next morning. She looks out the window and just starts panicking and just runs out of the cabin and there's snow all over the ground. And, you know, Jackie's nowhere to be seen. And she just starts digging and Jackie is buried under the snow. Oh my God, this was so heartbreaking. I mean, she's just screaming and, you know, Thais is holding her. And I mean, oh my God. Oh, Sophie and Elise just like broke my heart in such a major way in this scene.
I'm
like getting teary-eyed thinking about it now. This like every time I've seen the scene, I start crying. It's just, it's so heartbreaking.
It is on many levels. Not only, you know, the loss of her friend, but the guilt, right? I mean, yeah. The reason Jackie's outside is because of this fight that, you know, her and Shauna had. And thinking to yourself the last words you say to a person before they die is something
that... Oh, you froze up on us. Are you back? You're back. But yeah, it's, you know, that's going to haunt her for the rest of her life, you know?
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah. Like, she's going to replay those words over and over, and what she could have done differently, and what was Jackie thinking, and, you know, I should have gone outside sooner. Like, so many shoulda, coulda, woulda moments. So that was really hard to watch.
Definitely.
Rest in peace, Jackie. Rest in peace.
Yeah. And, you know, Jackie was kind of like their last thread of reality, you know? I mean, Jackie and Laura Lee didn't go down that dark rabbit hole that all the others have gone down. And, you know, Laura Lee was optimistic and positive, and she had faith, and Jackie was just a realist. And all of that's gone now. And it was almost like those two had to die.
And just like thinking back to all the references of like being cold and really the foreshadowing that went into, you know, ultimately culminating in Jackie's death being frozen. Yeah. Just, you know, they really kind of keyed into that throughout the season. And it becomes more apparent, obviously, when you're rewatching. Yeah. But, you know, it's sad to lose Jackie. I think she was such a main character that nobody was suspecting that she would go. Like, you just think they're going to pick off like the lesser Yellow Jackets, but not Jackie. You know, and of course we know she wasn't alive in the future. So, you know, it was, you know, I don't know.
She poor made a Jackie. Very pretty popsicle though.
She did. Beautiful, beautiful frozen Jackie. Beautiful frozen Jackie. Yes. And then so we move back to the present. Natalie is putting the rifle actually under her chin. Again, Juliette Lewis is just playing this with such conviction, so perfectly. You can see that she's really accepting the idea that Travis killed himself and this is what brought her here. You know, it felt like she felt betrayed by the only thing that she believed in, which was him. You know, they've had this special bond for forever, and granted, you know, there's some years in there we don't know what the extent of their relationship was. Obviously it was substantial, you know, for her to be feeling this level of grief. And you know, this mindset, you know, could put her in a really bad mind space for season two, because you know, Shauna was able to influence her to believe that Travis killed himself, so you know, who knows what she might be vulnerable to. And in terms of the kidnappers who then come inside, and she hears this banging at the door before she can pull the trigger. They time it really well, because you kind of hear this bang and you assume it's going to be like the trigger or whatever, but it's actually the banging of the door. A group of people in matching tracksuits bust through at this exact moment before she can kill herself, grab her, and they put her in a van. And what's interesting is, you know, if you're looking close up to the necklace of one of these tracksuit people, it is of the symbol. So there's, you know, a symbol necklace, these people in the tracksuits. We're assuming like this is the cult, you know, coming to get her. There was a quick moment when I swear she says Jeff. Like I mentioned it before, I played it again last night. Like obviously Jeff's not there. We can see the people. It's not Jeff, but I swear she says Jeff. Like, I don't know why.
I looked at the captioning and all I saw it have her say was, I remember get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's all I remember. There was no Jeff in the captioning.
Right. Okay. I just like, I don't know. I had read it somewhere and then I watched it again and I was like, yeah, she totally is saying it, but it doesn't make sense. So I'm just throwing out there that like, that's what I heard and whatever. But one thing that does make sense is having that symbol necklace there, because now it's coming, you know, coming all together. At the same time this is all happening, Nat gets a voice message from Susie, who is her friend at the bank. Natalie, fucking call me, goddammit. What the hell have you gotten into? Look, I did what you asked. I dug into Travis's bank account and found out who emptied it. I think someone's following me. who the fuck is Lottie Matthews?
Oh.
Really good question. And this raises so many more questions. Like, you know, we're thinking, okay, like there's a cult, you know, the symbol. Lottie's probably the cult leader. She's the antler queen. Who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? How is she involved? Is she, you know, spearheading all of this stuff? Is she the cult leader? Who are the people that are coming? Who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? Why is she emptying Travis's bank account? So many more questions. So many yes. more questions. Oh my God.
So and then, many.
Like, you know, we have one more little scene in the past.
I love how they ended this episode so much. Like the last scene in the present and then the last scene in the past were just so perfect. So like it's, you know, Susie's calling and she's like, who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? And then it cuts to the past and Lottie is outside approaching the hollowed out tree, which seems to be like, you know, an altar for them. And she's got the bear heart in her hands and Van and Misty are kneeling behind her. And she places the heart down and says, "Versez le sang, mes beaux amis," which translates to "spill blood, my beautiful friends." And then she says in English, "and let the darkness set us free." And then it just ends. Like,
wow,
man, what an amazing ending.
What an ending. Like such a Lottie heavy ending, which I think foreshadows so much into season two. Obviously we're going to see an adult Lottie. And you mentioned there a possibility of some present day Lottie casting. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So apparently like a bunch of people from the show, including like cast members, including I think somebody from wardrobe, a bunch of people from the show are all suddenly following Shannon Sussman. So she was my top pick for an adult Lottie. And I think, you know, if we're going based on Instagram follows, I think that's highly likely that might be happening.
You know, Kelly, way to put your citizen detective skills mm-hmm. to good use here. I feel like, you know, that investigating with the cast and wardrobe people following, it could be a very good indicator that you're right. And also props to you for actually predicting this, you know, weeks ago as your top pick for adult Lottie. So,
every once in a while I like to go hiking in the forest and, you know, the forest tells me things and I have to like slaughter a bear, but every once in a while, but you know, it gives me some good predictions.
right. Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my God. I mean, there's a lot to wrap our heads around, you know, in the finale. Some of our questions were answered. Some things were not answered.
Remember, Lottie sucks raised. At French.
Oh, Lottie does suck at French. That's true. And so, I mean, like, are we going with like she's possessed by one of the forest spirits? Or I mean, what are our
Dead Hunter guy? I mean, Dead Hunter guy. Mm. Yeah, is probably. I mean, they're in Canada. He probably was. He was probably French Canadian, and. You know, he probably, I mean, he spoke English in Jackie's like death dream, but that doesn't mean anything.
He could totally be bilingual.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was probably French Canadian. And so he probably, French might have been his first language. She's Jackie said, Lottie sucks at French. And suddenly she's speaking it perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. Clearly there's been some things going on with Lottie this entire season. We got a glimpse into her childhood and her history and, you know, the medication, and now her medication's long gone. So it's interesting, like, was the medication suppressing these potential, you know, supernatural visions? I don't know. I assume we'll find out in season two, along with more about the cult. Like, who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? Like, where is she right now? Did people think she died? Or do people know she's alive? I have so many questions.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And man, you know, and it's sad because Lottie seemed like she seemed like such a sweet girl before all this stuff started happening. And, you know, like I remember Nat saying when they were when Jackie was making them all say something nice to each other. I remember Nat telling her that, you know, she never talks shit about anybody unless they really deserve it. And, you know, so Lottie was actually was obviously clearly this really sweet girl. And man, she's, you know, it doesn't seem on the surface like it's her fault, but you know, damn, she's really on the dark side now.
Really on the dark side. And so, you know, we can surmise that, you know, the symbol, since we're seeing it in the necklace now, like there's got to be some dark undertones to it, right? Like, you know, we've talked about like some people have tattooed the symbol, they're wearing shirts, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not going to wear the symbol until we know what it means. But I mean, I've got to think that it has some kind of, you know, evil situation if it's like the symbol of their cult. And who else is in the cult? Like, I mean, there were three people that came in these matching tracksuits. And why are they wearing tracksuits? One of them was wearing a sweater vest too, which I thought was odd. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to make about, you know, that situation. And why are they only kidnapping Nat, you know? Or are they kidnapping somebody else and we haven't seen it yet? I don't know. Nat and Travis were involved. The cult probably killed Travis. Where are they taking Nat? I don't know.
Well, I did read in an interview with, I think it was both Bart and Ashley, maybe. They said something about the cult being, having like a front as a wellness group. And which also makes me think of the rehab that Natalie was in, that Thaisa's been paying for. I think that these people may have been watching Natalie like Misty was. And she could have been sitting there for 3 hours waiting to pull the trigger. You know, who knows? Who knows how long she was sitting there trying to get up the nerve to pull the trigger. They could have been watching her, and that's why they busted in when they did.
So crazy. Like, you know, speaking of the rehab, I was actually up in LA last week doing some Beverly Hills 90210 filming locations, and I did not go to the two Yellow Jackets LA locations, but the rehab was actually filmed in Malibu, which I'm going to try to get to that location next time I'm in LA. And the high school, I know they filmed a lot of stuff in Canada and Vancouver or whatever, but the high school was actually Marshall High School in Los Angeles for some of the high school scenes in the pilot. So I plan on visiting there. And when I do, I'll share all that stuff. But cool. I love visiting filming locations, and I hope there's more LA ones in season two, so that way I can make like a whole weekend of it.
Yeah, they did a lot of, because I'm always fascinated by filming locations. I always like to like look up where things were filmed. And, you know, so I saw like there's, whenever there's like a very clear name of a restaurant or something, I'm always Googling that stuff. And so I know that there was like the restaurant, I think it was called Bricks and Mortar, that they were at earlier in the season. And then there was I think it was like a coffee shop that Natalie was at with Susie. And I know those were both in Vancouver.
Yep.
I'm always so interested by that stuff.
Yes, I love it too. And I really can't wait for season two so I can get my hands on more of these hopeful LA filming locations so we can go check those out. I too love filming locations. I am very, very much into those. So
I am. I did a very in-depth all day long tour of Walking Dead filming locations when we were in Atlanta back in 2015. And that was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just like pulling up in the bus to, and you know, it's like immediately recognizing some of the stuff. It was so cool.
Yeah. Oh, I love being there and taking selfies and like reenacting scenes is another thing that's really fun to do in those locations.
Definitely. Yeah, my husband and I got some really funny pictures on the Walking Dead tour.
Love that. And you know, as we're wrapping up season one, I think it's really important that we thank all of you out there who have listened or watched or supported us with a merch purchase. I'm actually wearing my latest shirt. the Wiscayoc Yellow Jackets, which is available at antlerqueenspodcast.com, along with a lot of other really fun gear. We've got Doom coming, Citizen Detective, some MFQ, There's No Book Club, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. So go check that out, antlerqueenspodcast.com. We would love your support. You know, we love doing the podcast and cannot wait for season two. And, you know, we'd love for you to show your love for the podcast as well. And along with that, you know, you mentioned we're going to be launching a Patreon with a super low entry level tier. We're doing some fun fan related things. We're going to stream an episode a month. And we're doing a giveaway right now where let's see, today is June 2nd. So let's give it until Saturday, June 4th at midnight Pacific time. All you have to do is follow us on Instagram. Send us a screen grab of the follow, or I'll just look at all the new follows and everybody who follows us, and we'll have a chance to randomly win a mug. So you can pick out whatever design you want from the shop. I will mail it to you. And yeah, we just want to show our appreciation to one lucky fan. And our Patreon is going to feature a monthly merch giveaway too. So there'll be many more chances to win.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's get in now. It'll, you know, so you can say you were one of the first, and, you know, you won't miss out on anything. We're talking about having some like debate club type stuff, and I've got some kind of funny ideas for that too. Like not very serious debates. Like debating what the symbol means.
Right.
But also, you know, debating actual theories and
who's pit girl, for instance.
Yeah, who's pit girl? What happened to Hobby? I don't think he's still around.
I think he's gone. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the girls, like, you know, killed him and it was something off camera, or, you know, maybe another predator got him. I don't think Hobby was the bear. So, you know, again,
maybe the bear got Hobby.
Maybe the bear got Javi. I mean, but the fact that he's been gone now for, you know, this long doesn't bode well for his survival rate, I would say.
Yeah. You know, there was an interesting theory brought up on Reddit. They didn't go into it too much, but I saw this theory and I was like, I couldn't tell if they were serious or if they were joking, but I Googled it because it could have gone either way. And because they didn't really say a whole lot. And so I followed it up with a Google search. And this person was suggesting that there may be an underground mine.
Oh.
And I got on Google. And this is what was the interesting part. Apparently, there are hidden mines in the mountains in British Columbia. There's apparently a hidden gold mine. There's like, yeah, I guess there's a bunch of different hidden mines. Who knows? Maybe Javi found some underground. There was the whole like Lottie's vision with like being underground. Do you remember that? When she was like, she was at the altar lighting candles and she was walking down a hallway.
Oh, yes, yes. That whole hallucination thing when she was like wet. She was wet too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Yes, that is interesting. Like, I love how these Lost has like the hatch. The Wilds, you know, last season, there was like a hatch in the ground. So this underground thing, like, that would make a lot of sense. Yes.
Yeah.
An underground mine. Maybe that's where Javi is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
hiding out from the crazy mushroom girls that are like chasing people through the forest trying to slaughter them.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, he could have found an underground mine that has some type of radio in it and, like, was able to get rescued somehow without finding the way back to the girls. You know, who knows?
Or maybe there's someone living in the underground mine. Like, I don't know.
Maybe there is, like, an entire community of elves that...
Wendigos.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you.
Evil elves.
Wendigo elves.
And we digress.
Who knows? Oompa Loompas. I'm going with Oompa Loompas.
Okay.
There's an entire community of Oompa Loompas. And
I like the underground mine theory, though. I think there's really something to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think one thing that the show has been missing is when somebody dies, you know, there's no catchy little song afterwards. And I think Oompa Loompas would really add a lot in season two to, like, you know, somebody dies and they sing a song about it.
Right, right. I can see that. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, some answers that I want in season two, you know, I want to know who Pit Girl is. Yes. I am dying to see, like, is Van part of Lottie's cult? How are her scars healing up? You know, things like that. Some of the Yellow Jackets, like, background type people that we haven't really seen that much or hasn't been much of a focus. I'd like to get more of their backstories. And I mean, this is supposed to go for 5 full seasons. So that leaves 4 more seasons of, you know, cliffhangers and mysteries and questions. And hopefully season 2 will at least, like, start to satiate that need that we all have for answers.
Yeah, I'm dying to uncover what Misty and Thaisa's connections are to everything that's going on. You know, it's Thaisa mentioned when she was talking to Shauna about all the things that she had planned to do and before the crash, and Shauna said, you know, but you did do all those things. And Thaisa said, well, to be honest, none of it felt real. And I like the idea that she achieved those things by disassociating and doing this weird culty shit that, you know, won her the election.
Yeah, a deal with the devil. Like, maybe, like, they made a deal with, like, the devil, whoever that person, spirit figure is. I don't know.
Did you notice? I thought this was interesting, and I was not the only person who noticed this. When they were at the campaign headquarters, did you notice the the banner or the bunting behind Thaisa?
No.
It was, you know, it's like, you know, that bunting, that, like, half circle.
Yeah, like on 4th of July, like the red, white, and blue. Yeah, yeah.
Bunting. Yeah, so they had that hanging up. And when they were standing around the TV, it was focusing on Thaisa, and one of those, like, she was lined up perfectly in the center of one of those, and it almost kind of, like, it was very reminiscent of antlers.
Interesting, like, how Lottie is portrayed a couple different times, like, standing in the center with the antlers coming out, and I think there was maybe one or two other instances where, you know, different girls were standing in front of the antlers, but that's interesting. That could be a little Easter egg, you know, and
yeah.
I mean, we assume the antler queen is Lottie, but maybe, plot twist, maybe it's Ty.
Thaisa is definitely a leader.
Yes. She's a senator. She has definitely proven her leadership skills.
Yeah. She's a natural born leader. And yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm still going with Lottie as Antler Queen, but yeah, who knows? Watching this back, it seems like Misty was a pretty important factor in that relationship. Like, it almost kind of seemed like she might be Lottie's second in command or something, you know?
That could definitely be. And like you said too, like the Nat Ty relationship, with Ty paying for the rehab and like this whole wellness cult thing. I mean, there could be a lot to unpack there. I mean, lots of backstories that we still need to hear about. We've been in 1996, we've been in 2021. So there's a lot of years in between there where we need more context for the characters and, you know, how they've arrived at where they're at now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, we'll be talking about a lot of this stuff. We're probably going to do some mini episodes, on a semi-regular basis, you know, just like 15 minutes discussing a certain theory or, you know, what we think is going to happen. So definitely stay tuned to our social media. You can find us on social media individually. I spend most of my time on Twitter, but I'm Antler Queen Kel on both Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm Media Melanie. And yeah, you know, hit us up. Let us know topics you'd like to discuss in a mini episode. If you'd like to join us for a fan panel, stay tuned for our Patreon announcement. And again, like us on Instagram. Everybody who likes us on Instagram before June 4th at midnight Pacific time will be eligible to win a Antler Queens mug.
Yep.
All right.
Get on it.
Well, thank you all. It's been such an incredible season one of Yellow Jackets. We appreciate everybody who's tuned in, and we cannot wait to cover season two, do some more fun things before then. And just thank you. Thank you all for your support.
Yes. And we're very grateful.
Yes, we sure are. And hey, Kelly.
What's up, Melanie?
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Antler Queens out.